This is Morning Edition. I'm Will Michaels. Convictions in sexual assault cases are more elusive than for any other crime. That's one of several findings that came from a deep dive into state data by a consortium of media organizations. Carolina Public Press led a reporting team that looked at all of North Carolina's counties and prosecutorial districts. They spoke with victims and victim advocates who say that justice is not always served. But reporters also found nuanced reasons for plea deals or even jury acquittals. WUNC data reporter Jason DeBruin worked on this project and joins me now. Hey, Jason.
Good morning.
You pulled data from the administrative offices of the courts. That's notoriously complicated data. Can you explain what you looked through?
So we looked at about 4.5 years worth of data, starting in 2014 and running through about mid-2018. And we looked only at cases for which there was a criminal charge that was filed in that time frame. So we realized that eliminates many other cases, but we wanted to make sure that we were able to draw conclusions comparing apples to apples.
And what did you find?
Well, we found that there was a pretty wide disparity of the success rate of prosecutors. Only about 1 in 4 cases resulted in a conviction. And there really were pretty big disparities across the state. Certainly the urban-rural divide exists, though there are some pretty notable exceptions. For instance, in Cumberland County, they had a pretty low conviction rate, whereas in Stanley County, a county of only about 65,000 people, they had a high conviction rate.
So that's kind of the data analysis side of this equation. But once you had your information, reporters went to work across the state trying to figure out what was causing these disparities, right?
That's exactly right. And we really found a lot of nuance in the data and in the reasons for why these aren't prosecuted to conviction. I mean, and it's not necessarily even an indictment on the district attorney offices. I mean, in many cases, there's not enough training for law enforcement, for example. So the evidence collection perhaps is a little bit worse in some areas than in others. And a big factor is that there's not exactly the same community support all across the state. You know, in Wake County, for instance, there's 3 major hospital systems. And then after that, there's strong support networks that can help victims or survivors as they go through a lengthy and arduous trial process. Well, that doesn't exist everywhere. I spoke with Amber Lucan-Barwick. She's a sexual assault prosecutor with the North Carolina Conference of District Attorneys, and she really hit that point home that the support networks play a huge role.
In some of our larger jurisdictions, you've got trained sexual assault nurse examiners, for instance, who are trained in the effects of the trauma on an individual that's been sexually assaulted. And so they're able to guide them to the right people so that from the beginning they're engaged with individuals that can help them navigate the course. And a lot of times that means helping them navigate the criminal justice system as well.
That was Amber Lucan-Barwick. She's a domestic and sexual violence resource prosecutor with the North Carolina Conference of District Attorneys. So that's on the support side. You also found that there are cultural barriers, right?
Absolutely. It's maybe unfortunate that the Me Too movement hasn't made it all the way across, you know, every corner of the state or every corner of the country. And the other factor here is that victims oftentimes know their assailants. So in the movies, we see rapes or sexual assault and it's, you know, the guy jumping out of the bush. It's far more likely that the victim knows, and in many cases intimately knows, her assailant. But it's not necessarily perceived that way, and that can be difficult for prosecutors and for victims. Whitney Belich is also a sexual assault prosecutor, and she says this dynamic can prevent survivors from coming forward in the first place.
Well, in rural areas and in small communities, a lot of times everybody knows everybody, and that can be a great thing, but that can also make it very difficult for victims to come forward, because once they come forward, if they don't have the support of their community, it can affect where they can go to church, where they can go to the grocery store without seeing people that know the offender, and that really impacts how comfortable they feel coming forward because they know the impact it'll have on their everyday life.
And I would imagine this makes it difficult for a member of a jury to see right in front of him or her and make a decision, right?
Well, it's very difficult. So prosecutors have a difficult time in smaller communities picking jurors in the first place because, you know, with fewer people, it's just far more likely that people in the jury pool would know the assailant, the victim, or in some cases, even both. And because of some of these cultural factors, you know, it really only takes one juror to sort of buy into the victim blame mentality that can then, you know, perhaps even sway the rest of the jurors, or, you know, in a best case, in quotes, in a best case, you know, have a hung jury.
Which is not to forget that it's perhaps infinitely harder for the survivor, him or herself, to be standing there and talking about his or her story.
I mean, just think about how difficult it is to talk about some of these very intimate details, even if you're just in a room with, say, one other person. Well, now you're talking about it with, you know, a prosecutor and law enforcement. That's difficult. And then you're being asked to potentially go on stand and announce this to the public with many of your family and your assailant's family potentially in the trial room, you know, in the courtroom as well. It's incredibly difficult. There's a lot of reasons why victims don't want to go through that. And prosecutors are sensitive to that. One of the things they take very seriously is that they don't want to do additional harm to any victims, to any survivors. So, you know, there's already been this horrible event. Well, you're potentially going to keep reliving it for months or even years, and then you're adding on additional trauma of the trial itself. So you can really understand why some of these cases result in plea deals.
This is a four-part series. The first part starts today. Where can we find the other stories?
The stories are a lot of different places. You can find the stories, obviously, on WUNC.org, but Carolina Public Press, News and Observer, and several other news outlets have the stories as well.
Jason DeBruin is WUNC's data reporter. Thanks, Jason.
You're welcome.